Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called The Mouse Who Ate the Moon, an original story written for you by Daniel Hines. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Ellie, Libby, and Crumbs and their family in Pennsylvania, Maura Welsh and her family, Fen, Kai, Nim, Tay, and Maeve and their family in Anchorage, Alaska, John and Luke and their family in Malaysia, Oliver, Grace, and Abby and their family, and Navya and Nayan and their family in San Antonio, Texas. Thank you so much, Nayan, Navya, Abby, Grace, Oliver, Luke, John, Maeve, Tay, Nim, Kai, Fen, Maura, Crumbs, Libby, and Ellie. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. We have new Stories Podcast face masks available. Check those out, plus all of our other merch at storiespodcast.com/shop. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors. If you're worried about your child falling behind in math, you're not alone. Studies show that the pandemic has impacted math education, and some kids are definitely struggling. But don't worry, Mathnasium can help.
My daughter Gracie's always done well in math, but I've been worried lately that she might be falling behind with the pandemic. I didn't want that to happen, so I set her up with a free consultation with Mathnasium. There are over 1,000 of their centers across the country, and one near me too, but Gracie did her sessions online because that works better for us right now. Her instructors were knowledgeable, patient, and explained things to her in a way that really helped her understand. Afterwards, they sent me a full write-up of Gracie's math strengths and needs, and now they're making a lesson plan just for her so she can get the exact right support.
If your child is a little behind in math, Mathnasium will bridge the gap. If they need to move at a faster pace and be challenged, Mathnasium will step on the gas and raise the level of work. And if your kid just needs help with their math homework and you don't know how to help because they've changed math since you were in school,
like me,
Mathnasium can help with that too. Whether you're looking to get your kids back on track or want to ensure they're staying ahead with their math studies, schedule a free consultation with Mathnasium today. You can find a center near you at mathnasium.com, then call them for a free in-person or online consultation.
Mathnasium.com.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, there's so many worlds you can explore.
Like Hyrule, where I can fight enemies and save the kingdom with Link.
That sounds adventurous!
Or my very own island in Animal Crossing New Horizons, where I can fish whenever I want.
Whoa! Look at the size of that thing! You can find even more worlds to explore on the Nintendo Switch system. Games rated E to E10+. Games and systems sold separately.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode! The Mouse Who Ate the Moon. The year was 1969, and Luna the Mouse was very hungry. She had always lived on her own, eating out of garbage cans and drinking from puddles. That may sound like a very sad way to live, but it didn't bother Luna for two reasons. The first reason is that mice like eating from the garbage. In fact, they love it. The second reason is that it was the only life Luna had ever known, so she had nothing to compare it to. It wasn't all bad, though. She had made a little nest for herself in the corner of a great big warehouse by the beach. The warehouse was full of giant metal containers in all shapes and sizes, and humans rarely visited it, so it was a perfect hiding spot for a lonely little mouse like Luna. Plus, it was close to some kind of airport or something, so there were lots of workers and tourists around, and they were always throwing scraps of food in the garbage or even right on the ground. Humans were very wasteful, so Luna helped them out by eating all the bits of leftovers she could find. One night, when Luna was feeling particularly hungry, she decided to venture out from her warehouse in search of some food. She went to all her favorite garbage cans, hoping to find some stale pretzel or a bit of fried dough a tourist had thrown away, but there was nothing. Then she checked her best spots on the beach, hoping to find a piece of bread that the seagulls missed, but there was nothing there either. Finally, defeated, she slouched back towards her warehouse. Along the way, she passed a building even bigger than her warehouse, and out in front, it had a happily bubbling fountain.
"Well, if I can't eat, at least I can get a drink," she said, and climbed up on the rough stone edge.
Once she was on top, she looked down into the fountain and could barely believe her eyes. There, just under the surface of the water, was an entire wheel of cheese. It was fat and yellowy white, and it was just sitting there, ready for her to eat.
"Yahoo!"
she cried, and dove into the water, whiskers first. She splashed in and came up again a second later, spluttering and coughing and empty-handed. But where had the cheese gone? Luna climbed back up to the edge of the fountain, shaking and soaking wet. She looked back down at the water and saw the cheese again. But she had just dived in and it wasn't there. What was going on? Scooping up a little pebble, Luna threw it at the cheese floating just under the surface. The pebble plonked into the water and sent little circles rippling out, making the cheese look all chopped and wavy.
"Oh, no," she said. "It isn't cheese at all."
Too late, Luna had realized that what she thought was a big wheel of yellowy white cheese was actually just the full moon, reflected in the water. Luna laid back on the edge of the fountain, wet and miserable, but too defeated to drag herself home. How long she laid there, she couldn't have said, but she must have fallen asleep because soon she was woken by two humans walking nearby.
"So, what do you think their chances are?" said the first voice.
"Well, I don't know," said the second. "They've got the best minds in the world working on it, but still, it's awfully risky. I wouldn't want to be in Armstrong's shoes, I'll tell you that much."
"I bet they make it. I heard that new Saturn rocket is a whiz."
"And I heard the moon is made of cheese."
"Swiss or cheddar?"
"I guess the Apollo boys will find out."
The voices and footsteps faded away, but Luna had heard it all. She looked up at the full moon, yellowy white above her in the sky, with a newfound respect. Made of cheese! All the cheese a mouse could ever want, just hanging above the world! Waiting for someone brave enough to come and get it. Waiting for her.
"I'll get to the moon," she whispered.
Luna slept fitfully that night. Every time she closed her fuzzy little eyelids, all she could see was the moon. It seemed so close and so far at the same time. How could she ever hope to get there? Most mice, and people for that matter, would have given it up as a crazy idea, but Luna wasn't most mice. The next evening when she woke up, she headed out into the world, resolving not to come back home until she had figured out a way to get to the moon. The first thing she tried was climbing up the tallest thing around, which was a metal tower the humans had built near the fountain. She found a cable that ran up the side of the building and she scurried right on up. Once she was at the top, it made her dizzy to look down at the streets far below, but the moon didn't seem any closer.
"I guess it's a little further than I thought."
The next thing she tried was making herself a set of wings out of some old newspapers she found. With her little teeth, she chewed the paper into the right shape, and then she tied them to her arms with a bit of old string. They seemed strong when she flapped, but she just couldn't seem to leave the ground, not even when she jumped as high as she could.
Maybe I need to start a little higher, she thought, thinking of birds swooping out of the trees.
So, wings strapped tightly to her arms, she climbed back up the tower and walked to the edge. Now that she was planning on jumping, it looked even higher than before. But she wouldn't give up.
"To the moon!"
she hollered, and then leapt a mighty leap, flapping her paper wings as hard as she could. For a moment, it seemed like she might actually fly. But only for a moment. With a lurch that made her belly swoop, Luna began to fall. She flapped and flapped and flapped, but it was no good. With a huge splash,
Well, huge for a mouse anyway. She landed in the fountain, and it was only with the last of her energy that she dragged herself out of the water and back on to the fountain's edge. She laid on her back, staring up at the moon that hung in the sky. It was almost like it was teasing her, so big and fat and yellowy-white.
"Laugh while you can," she said. "I'm gonna figure out how to get to you, and I'm gonna eat you all up. You hear that, moon? I'm gonna eat you all up! Just as soon as I figure out how to get up there."
She started taking off her wings, peeling the wet newspaper from her arms, when all of a sudden she saw something that made her stop cold. There, right in black and white newsprint, was the answer to all her troubles. It read, "American astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin to walk on the moon." A lot of the rest was ruined from the water, but Luna could make out a picture of a giant metal tube like the ones in her warehouse. Only this one was standing up straight, and it had all kinds of other stuff attached to it. Under the picture, it read, "Apollo 11, awaiting launch at Kennedy Space Center."
"Kennedy Space Center? But that's where I live."
Luna immediately set out searching, and it didn't take her all that long to find what she was looking for. On a little island, just across the water from her warehouse home, the giant metal structure the paper had called Apollo 11 stood, supported by an even taller tower, crisscrossed with metal stairs and struts and wires. Even then, in the middle of the night, it was busy around the ship. Floodlights shone all over, making it nearly as bright as day, and humans walked, jogged, and even sprinted around, carrying clipboards and strange machines. There were even guards with weapons, but luckily they were only watching for other humans, so Luna slipped right by. When she got to the tower, she had to fight back the urge to quit. It was taller than the building near the fountain. It was taller than anything she had climbed before, and she was so tired from the busy night already, but she knew this would be her only chance to get to the moon. So, one paw at a time, she started climbing the wires that circled up the tower's staircase. By the time she reached the top, the sun was up and there were humans everywhere. Luna looked and looked, but she couldn't find a way into the ship.
"Come on, come on! There's gotta be a way!"
Finally, with great cheering from below, three humans appeared at the top of the stairs. They were wearing big, chunky suits and strange helmets, and Luna saw a patch on one of their suits that read, "Armstrong."
"Armstrong? Like from the paper!"
Without stopping to think, Luna leapt from her hiding place among the wires and landed on Armstrong's leg. Tiny as she was, the astronaut didn't seem to feel her there, and he walked Luna right into the ship. Once aboard, Luna scurried away and found a place to hide. Things were getting louder now. The ship was rumbling. The humans were strapping themselves into their chairs. Was this really going to work? After what felt like hours, a loud voice echoed from all over, counting down. Luna held on tight, her little eyes fixed on the windshield.
3, 2, 1!
"I'm coming for you, Moon!"
"Lift off!"
Up and up they rocketed, three humans and one fuzzy little stowaway, heading for the moon. Soon, the blue sky and the windshield was replaced by the black of space, the white pinpricks of stars, and there, in all its yellowy-white glory, right in the center, growing larger by the second, was the moon. Luna licked her lips. She had aimed high, higher than any mouse ever, maybe, and it hadn't been easy. But now, her reward was in sight. It was going to be one amazing dinner. The end. Today's story, The Mouse Who Ate the Moon,
was an original story written for you by Daniel Hines and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening!
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.